This is Wade Rathke. You know what that means. It's Wade's World, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. It's Friday. We go to 9:30. We're broadcasting at KABF FM 88.3, WAMF FM 90.3. In Little Rock, we're 100,000 watts of people power, and we are the voice of the people. At Wade's World, every week, we talk to the most interesting people in the world. And today, we're talking to Guthrie Graves Fitzsimmons, who is the Faith Coordinator for the National Immigration Forum. Guthrie, glad I caught you.
Thanks. Glad to be on, Wade.
Guthrie, you've been working on this immigration issue, and we've talked a lot about that at different times on Wade's World. And one of the issues has always been how we get the brothers and sisters in a religious community to do the right thing. That's been your job for the last couple of years, hasn't it?
Yeah, about 3.5 years I've been working with the National Immigration Forum, trying to get different faith groups involved in this immigration reform debate and to pass laws that are consistent with religious values that honor the immigrant and welcome the immigrant.
Nicely put. What's the Immigration Forum? Give us a sense of that before we get too deep into the religion part.
The National Immigration Forum has existed for about 33 years, and its mission is to advocate for the value of immigrants to America. We work with a wide cross-section of different groups throughout the country, at the local level, at the national level, and for the last few years, our goal has been to pass comprehensive immigration reform. And a few years ago, we started a coalition called Bibles, Badges, and Business as our main
Bibles, Badges, and Business, BBB.
BBB as our main focus, as the groups that we wanted to focus our engagement on. That would be the religious community, the business community, and the law enforcement community, all who have their distinct reasons for supporting immigration reform, but have come together as a sort of center-right, center group of people to advocate for reform.
Now, the National Immigration Forum is not your general lefty, progressive, you know, far-out group. This is, when you say business, you mean business. You've got some businesses involved in this, don't you?
Yeah, we've worked with a lot of different tech groups, a lot of the tech companies in Silicon Valley. We work with Forward.us, which is the group that Mark Zuckerberg and other tech CEOs started. And then other big companies. We've done events with the Chamber of Commerce. And I think the forum is unique in that we work with people across the political spectrum. These people have very divergent views on a range of different issues. But on immigration, they can come to the forum, and that's our single issue. And so we're able to work with groups. We had a dinner a couple of years ago where we gave out awards, and we were honoring both the government affairs person and Walmart and SEIU, or Walmart was there in the room, and then SEIU was there in the room as well. We were honoring Mary Kay Henry with an award. And so where else are those people in the same room?
You need a big room for some of these meetings, don't
it's you, a big, it's a big room. And, you know, you get in all these different religious groups who don't agree on anything, on many things either. The religious right and more progressive Christians together again. Just like it's strange to have labor and business in the same room, to have the religious right and progressive Christians and liberal Christians advocating on the same issue is also really unique and powerful.
I know I did a little bit of work with the Immigration Forum, 6 or 7 years ago, mm-hmm. and there was a lot of interest in whether or not we could pull together some of these various groupings of evangelical leaders, particularly in the Hispanic community. And mm-hmm. I think you've ended up with that as your portfolio, haven't you?
Yeah, I part of that effort, I think they were reaching out to folks and brought me on board to staff that work specifically. And it brought both, as you mentioned, Hispanic Christians, specifically Hispanic evangelicals, the National Latino Evangelical Coalition, and the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, which are the two major groups of Latino evangelicals together, along with sort of larger, more broader groups and white evangelicals.
Now, I read in a paper recently, Guthrie, that former Governor Jeb Bush was speaking to one of the evangelical groups, and you're going to have to tell us which one, in Houston, trying to say how much he was committed to immigration reform. And I think Ali Noorani, your The director of the National Immigration Forum was even quoted in the Times. Maybe he was at the same meeting. What was all that about? And which one of these three groups was that? And what's going on?
That was the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, which is a group run by Sammy Rodriguez, a pastor in California. And his group is a group of Hispanic churches across the country. They've also expanded internationally recently and has been a really strong advocate for immigration reform. And also someone that has worked, he gave the an invocation at the Republican convention in 2012 and has, you know, aligned his public policy sort of aligns with the Republican Party traditionally and has really been a voice bringing the Republican Party, who, you know, evangelicals make up a large swath of their political coalition, and bringing them to see the importance of Latino evangelicals in that and the need to pass immigration reform. So he invited Governor Bush. I think there might have been some other candidates there as well, talking about the need to pass immigration reform. Of course, Senator Rubio was a leader in passing the broad bipartisan bill in the Senate in 2013. He was part of the Gang of Eight that negotiated that. So he's been a leader on reform as well.
And has he recanted that his position in that reform, or is Rubio still lined up in favor of some reform? I never can tell listening or hearing what he says.
You know, I think he's trying to walk a tight line because...
That better not be a line around my neck. I mean, we're trying to do something for millions of people here.
And it is. And I remember, you know, I don't stay up to date on the Republican primary back and forth.
You've been doing fine so far, Guthrie.
But Senator Rubio, you know, was a leader, and he did some events where... he talked with the faith community, and so he's been very open. When immigration reform was actually moving, when it was important to be a leader amongst his colleagues in Congress, that's what I remember.
You know, Cruz seems sort of like a Latino name too, doesn't it? I don't hear him saying the same thing.
You know, that's why we're working with the religion.
You would have thought there was something there. I think. That's part of his roots is, coming over from Cuba, no?
You know, I think we want all the candidates to listen to this major part of their you know, people that support, usually vote Republican, and they support a lot of what the Republicans are saying, but increasingly religious communities are saying we want immigration reform to be a part of whoever wins the presidency and whoever gets elected to Congress. And we've seen a lot of really, really conservative members of Congress come out in favor of immigration reform, standing next to pastors. There was an event where Lindsey Graham, another, you know, senator, no one will confuse Lindsey Graham as a moderate or a liberal Republican.
But
he stood up for immigration reform and stood with pastors in South Carolina. I was in Cary, North Carolina with Renee Elmers.
Now, none of us know where Cary, North Carolina, might have been.
It's Raleigh-Durham.
Oh,
it's a little.
Okay.
It's a very conservative area near Raleigh-Durham. I was there at an event with Renee Elmers, Tea Party Republican, elected in that wave in 2010, really conservative. But she has become a champion for immigration reform, standing up with pastors and stuff in her community. So it's possible. It's possible when you take a strong position and stand by it. You know, religious leaders are there standing right behind you and next to you and saying the same thing out of their pulpits on Sunday.
Now, we're talking to Guthrie Graves Fitzsimmons, who's a religious coordinator with the National Immigration Forum, and he's given us some insight into where we can find some ground to move forward on immigration reform. Now, when we talk about Lindsey Graham and the woman you just referred to from North Carolina and even some of the, you know, tech people, are they just for immigration reform in terms of bringing laborers in cheaply to work their crops and bringing high-tech people in from India and China to, you know, invent new Apple Watches? Or are they really for comprehensive immigration reform? What's the story? Guthrie, you got a cut on that?
They're for comprehensive. They've been part of a cult, you know, Bibles, badges, and, you know, people that have come into this kind of coalition that we've run that is sort of unlikely allies have really stayed together and supported comprehensive reform, even though everyone comes to the issue for the from their specific interest, they have seen the need to stand united as a coalition.
So because we don't have to worry about the Facebook guy and others just selling us out if they get their beefed up quota for high-tech people? There's the rules of engagement. Are everybody's going to jump in the water together, Guthrie? Is that what you're telling me?
I
want to talk to you about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny right after this and see what we're going.
You know, you can leave that speculation, Wade. You can speculate all day. What I know is the last 3.5 years, people have stuck together and created a unique partnership, a unique coalition that passed the Senate with 68 votes. Show me a coalition that passed a broad, controversial issue with 68 votes in the United States Senate in the last few years since Washington has become hyper, even more partisan than usual. And that's the coalition that has stuck together and achieved tremendous results. Now, it came up short in the House, but there were a lot of conservative House members, just like there were a lot of conservative senators. So what happens to the coalition going forward? I would obviously hope that that coalition was very powerful in 2013, 2014, that it stays together. I know the religious community specifically is continuing to work. Evangelical groups, you just mentioned Jeb Bush a couple days ago speaking to Hispanic evangelicals. The religious community is continuing to push. It's not, letting up. People are still in churches talking about immigration, and both the two groups that I've worked closely with from the forum, the Evangelical Immigration Table, which is specifically evangelical, and they have a set of principles that people can check out at evangelicalimmigrationtable.com that lays out, it's very comprehensive, a path to legal status or citizenship, something about the border, restructuring that, and so it's very broad in that concern. And then the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops that I've worked with some, and they're a part of this Bibles, Badges, and Business work as well, has laid out a call for comprehensive reform that I think people are going to be hearing a lot more about in a few months when Pope Francis comes to the U.S. and addresses Congress and the United Nations. People are going to remember that Pope Francis and the Catholic bishops, not your liberal, people, not, you can't accuse them of that either. They're
you can accuse Pope Francis.
I mean, Pope Francis.
You can't accuse the U.S. Catholic Conference of bishops of being liberal, but you can accuse our Argentine brother there,
the
Pope
bishop,
Francis is going on the liberal side. I'm going to claim him as one of ours.
Pope Francis, stood up for it. His first trip as Pope was to call attention to the migrant deaths crossing from Northern Africa into the European Union. He went to Lampedusa, Italy. And then so the bishops followed suit, and I was with them going into the border at Nogales, Arizona, and they fed communion through the border. And that was with the bishops and Cardinal O'Malley from Boston. And so the bishops have been very strong in this as well.
The litmus test seems to be a point you made a second ago about the Immigration Evangelical Forum, or whatever the name you just used. And that's whether or not there's really going to be a path to legalization. I mean, almost anybody now can say, hey, we're for immigration reform, and that's across the waterfront. You can be right, left, and they all claim they're for immigration reform. Sometimes that's evil and sometimes it's good. But on the evangelical side, you're seeing a lot of traction then on a path to legalization, or how is that starting to be shaped by the Immigration Forum?
The forum values, The people that are anti-immigration are opponents in D.C. the groups that are advocating against the interests of immigrants also, like you said, say reform. But what they mean by reform is lowering the levels of immigration. They're not just for stopping unauthorized immigrants from coming in the United States. They're for lowering the levels of people that come through legal means to the U.S. So they're anti-immigration as an ideological issue. They want less immigrants, not just stopping unauthorized entries. And so what people are saying now is across the board, people want a path to legalization that in several steps down the road can lead to a path to citizenship. And that's what was in the Senate compromise. They got 68 votes. So there's widespread support for a path to earned legal status and citizenship.
You talked about Pope Francis. So what do you think his message is going to be when he comes over here? I notice he's going to Cuba first, and then coming up, he's going to be in Philadelphia. How's that going to help us?
Pope Francis is going to bring a lot of different issues when he addresses Congress, when he addresses the United Nations. He's going to talk about climate change, which evangelicals have also, and Catholics in the U.S. are also working on through the lens of creation care and caring for God's environment.
He's certainly going to talk about equity, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going to talk. He's also going to talk about war and peace. I know his Easter message listed all the conflicts raging in the world, and especially what's going on with ICE, the Islamic State. So he's going to talk about a lot of things. But one thing he's going to stress is the plight of migrants, deaths of migrants around the world, and the need for immigration reform in the United States. When President Obama met with the Pope at the Vatican, that was one of, I think, the only two issues that they discussed specifically about American politics. And it's been one of the issues that the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops have spoken most strongly about. So we should expect to hear that. We should expect to hear a call to remember the biblical reasons why we should care for immigrants. There are 92 verses in the Old Testament alone about God's specific commandment to care for immigrants, to care for the stranger, to care for the person
Telling me the other day about some group that used 92 as part of its name. What was that?
There's a group called G92, which is college students that have been organizing since 2011 on Christian college campuses across the country. Here in Arkansas, there was an event at John Brown University where college students held a day-long conference about God's concern for immigrants and the need to have just laws around immigration. And that's just in the Old Testament. Of course, in the New Testament, Jesus says, what you did for the least of these, you did for me. Matthew 25, the specific commandment to care for the poor, the sick. It's a clear commandment, and it's a clear commandment that what we do in how we treat immigrants is how we would treat Jesus Christ himself. And so I expect you'll hear that. You will hear a strong sermon from Pope Francis. And of course, sitting right behind him will be our Speaker of the House himself, identifying as a strong Catholic.
Mr. Stoneface, you know, Speaker John Boehner. And let me tell you, I've been doing this wage world a long time, and we've had so few biblical verses ever quoted. I want to thank Guthrie Graves Fitzsimmons, who's a religious coordinator for the National Immigration Forum, for bringing this part of it. You know, when I say we talk to the most interesting people in the world, I mean the most interesting people in the world. And Guthrie, you've been spending too much time in New York and D.C. You have become one slick, slick soul here on this show. But let me ask you this. So, children, Acorn Honduras has been working in San Pedro Sula and Tegucigalpa about terrible problems in our colonias and everywhere with gangs and violence and people coming up with literally $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 to try to send their children to a safer place. But now we've already hit the limit to how many children can win protection and amnesty and entry, you know, safely because of their status. I forget the total, it was 60,000 or something. You would probably know the figure, I don't. But children would seem to be an issue that evangelicals could support us on, I would think. And almost everybody ought to be for what we can do for these children, don't you think?
I think there's definitely in Scripture, you talk about why religious people should care. There's a specific concern for children as well, in addition to immigrants in Scripture. So
there may be more than 92 verses in the Old Testament about children.
About children. And I had an experience last summer. People will remember when there was a surge of, or at least in media reports, which were saying there was a surge of people coming, children, unaccompanied children coming across our southern border. And it was there was terrible stuff in the news about people protesting the children, send them back. I mean, the most awful things you could imagine.
We were protesting in Honduras on the other side of that
right
issue. Believe me, I'm very familiar with it, yeah.
And a few days after, though, there was, of course, people then mobilized to welcome. There were welcome to treat the children well while they're here. And I, part of that effort to sort of say, these are children, we need to take care of them, we need to, follow the laws that we have. In addition to reforming our laws, we need to enforce laws, but we need to, first of all, our concern is to care for them. These are unaccompanied children. And I went down to McAllen, Texas, on the border with a group of Southern Baptist leaders, the Southern Baptist top ethicist, as well as the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, who's from a church here in Arkansas. And we visited a facility where they were housing the children, you know, these big warehouses. And then we visited Lackland Air Force Base outside of San Antonio, Texas, where the kids were also being housed, and held press conferences and got, you know, coverage in national papers, the New York Times, about how religious leaders were saying, these are children, we need to first of all care for them, and then talk about what happens next. But first is finding a family member. First is meeting their immediate needs, because a lot of these children have been trafficked, have been brought, and are just terrified by the time they finally get into Customs and Border Patrol protection and Health and Human Services protection.
Well, in New Orleans, there's been a huge surge because we have one of the larger Honduran populations in the country in New Orleans, and many people are coming here. But so the evangelicals who are supporting immigration reform are using this issue then of the children as part of the demand for reform?
It was a sort of an acute time to say this is a symptom of a broken immigration system. So many people say, just that aren't that familiar with immigration law, people just need to come the right way. They need to get in the back of the line. There is no line, as you were alluding to. There is no way for people to come, you know, the right, quote unquote, the right way. And so part of when we have instances of in the news where people talk about the rise in unaccompanied minors or the rise in people that have come through unauthorized means, it's let's create a just system. Let's create a system that honors our heritage as a nation of immigrants, that for religious leaders honors the biblical call to welcome the stranger. And let's do that, and we'll see less of these instances.
So, jumping a little bit in the same train, is there any chance we're going to see reform before the next president is inaugurated? What are y'all thinking in Washington?
Well, thankfully, I'm not in Washington anymore. What are they thinking?
You're connected. I mean, you're riding for that brand now. Come on, Guthrie.
I think there's always hope of you know, that's another, you
hope
know,
springs
talk
eternal.
About,
don't tell me you're going to say that.
We're going to talk about the biblical call to have hope. It's not in, you know, my hope is not in the members of the United States Congress. Anyone, you know, that spent time in Washington knows not to place their hope there. The hope is that people have changed hearts and minds. As Christians, we believe that God, the Holy Spirit, has a role in that people reflecting on Scripture will see that this is the just course of action. And, you know, Pope Francis hopefully will help with that. There are a lot of Catholic members of Congress, and hopefully, you know, he can appeal to them. And I think there's hope, but it's not a political calculus. You know, I think the political calculus you can read about is that the next opening would be in sometime with the new president and a new Congress. But so I still have hope, Wade. But that's my personal.
Well, you know, I have hope too, but more, you know, soberly. Here's one of the huge issues, and it was when I was around the National Immigration Forum too, is how to make sure whoever is the new president that this issue is one of the top priorities for the first 100 days. And I think that's something, that's where we stubbed our toe. I mean, mm-hmm. there was a plan by many to make that, to even have a demonstration on Inauguration Day, not a demonstration against the inauguration of the president, but to make sure there was a notion to get 20 or 25,000 people out to just say how clear we wanted the progress on immigration to be from Obama. And the faucet was turned off. It ended up less than 2,000, you know, Casa de Maryland and the groups in Illinois and some others, because they got word from the foundation funders up in New York, no, give them 6 months, whatever. Well, when you lose that opportunity to make this one of the issues, we've now been stuck you know, stuck in the wilderness here for the last 8 years, 7 years almost, waiting for that reform. We've got to make sure, don't you think, that this is one of the top issues to be dealt with by any new president?
We do. We know there are a lot of issues to for the next president, the next Congress to deal with, but there has to be a way, because what we find consistently in public polling is that people are support the goals of immigration reform, but it ranks near the bottom of their interests. It's not just the Congress is actually reflecting American opinion in this regard, which is why we need to change the people, the culture, to elevate it first, and then it will be elevated in Washington. You know, Washington changes last, yeah. I feel like. And what people...
Amen, as we say here on this show.
People support across the board. White evangelicals support immigration reform, support a path to legalization and citizenship. But for them and most Americans, except Hispanic Americans, it ranks very low on their list of issues, behind, you know, jobs and the economy and other health care and everything. So we need to raise people. We need to make it an urgent issue. And I think in 2012, the Evangelical Immigration Table issued a call on the Senate and the House to come up with legislation within 100 days of the new Congress. And the Senate actually, I think on day 100, it was very close to the end of that timeline, but they actually did unveil their... So they moved at the beginning of the last Congress.
There were, as you said, there are so many issues. I mean, I was there too. That was a trailing one, and there wasn't heat. I mean, It's not a... this reform is not in the Beltway. I think you and I both agree, and your job is obviously outside the Beltway, but how can any Republican candidate who they've made a huge public, priority of moving Hispanic votes to see if they've got any chance to win the election, Karl Rove or every strategist says they've got to at least get 25-30%, move up from the George W. number. How can they possibly have a chance of this without a stronger pro-immigration reform position?
It's not just Republicans, though, Wade. It's Democrats or Republicans. I guess we now have a Democratic Socialist in the race. It's any party person running for president.
Well, who knows what he is? He's an independent Republican.
If an independent runs for president, they are going to need to make the strong case that immigration reform is a priority for them. They need to make the case that they'll act on it soon, because not just the Hispanic community supports this issue. It's supported across self-identified Republicans support the goals of immigration reform. It's an issue that Americans want fixed, and no matter who's running for it. You know, the Republicans, there's a whole group of Republicans out there. You mentioned Karl Rove has written on this repeatedly. A lot of different, you know, Republican funders have written on this. I mean, you talk about the base of the Republican Party. It's, religious voters. It's business. And all of the constituent groups are calling for reform. All the constituent groups within the Democratic coalition are calling for reform. And sort of you have this broad consensus across all the groups that are, organizing politically in the United States, and the vast majority of them support reform. As you mentioned, it's getting that to be a priority.
What are you doing in New York, Guthrie?
I'm attending the Union Theological Seminary.
I probably should have said that earlier, because that's come out a couple of times in this show. They're obviously doing some good religious Bible training. If people wanted to find out more about your work and the National Immigration Forum, how would they do that? I know you gave a website earlier. Let's give it again and see if we've got a lot of people listening to the show. Let's see if you can get some support.
If you want to find out more about the forum, you can visit our website at immigrationforum.org. Again, that's immigrationforum.org. If you want to find out more about how evangelicals are advocating for immigration reform that's consistent with biblical values, you can visit their website at www.evangelicalimmigrationtable.com. Again, that's evangelicalimmigrationtable.com.
Well, Arkansas, Louisiana, every place that hears this, and this has been web streamed as we speak, and we'll be on a podcast here by Monday. We always say by Monday. Sometimes it's on Saturday, but And you can use it and get out the word. But we've got a lot of evangelicals in our listening audience. Let's hope they get your message. We've been talking today to our friend and someone I've known since before he was born, Guthrie Graves Fitzsimmons, originally from Houston, now displaced in New York, and working for the National Immigration Forum. Next week, we're going to talk about organizing hawkers in India, particularly South India and Bengaluru and Chennai. This is Wade Rathke. This has been Wade's World for KABF FM 88.3, 100,000 watts of people power, and WAMF 100 watts of people power in New Orleans. We'll see you next Friday.